We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
There's two things your stupid show talks about. One,
Howard Simon.
One,
Jeremy White.
Both suck.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
And Sal sitting in and sucking this week in place of Jeremy, at least for the first 3 days of the week, and then it'll be Nate Geary and Paul Hamilton picking up the mantle. No, you don't pick up the mantle. You pick up the baton. Baton. There you go. All right. So Ryan Miller,
pass the baton. You can't if you pick up the baton, you're already disqualified. Which means the baton fell.
So what do you pick up?
Actually,
you don't pick up the mantle. What do you pick up? You pick up the. That has to be a phrase. Like you're going to pick up the. And
the slack,
go with it.
The slack.
Slack, really? I thought there was something else that was picking up.
Then Sal's slacking? I guess that's what that means.
You pick up the, you know, whatever. This is just par. Like I said, you turn 58 and you just have these moments where you can't remember names or keywords or phrases or any of this stuff anymore. All right, let me follow up on Ryan Miller because Brayton did all the Sabre stuff. Your update on what's been going on, what's happening with the Zoom calls and all that stuff. You know what I think, Sal, too, about the Ryan Miller discussion? This is where... What Ryan Miller discussion? I just turned you guys on. Brayton has an article up about Ryan Miller Hall of Famer. We were having a little bit of discussion about that, and we were bringing up the fact that, there were some, of course, there are always some detractors, but it seemed like Ryan Miller had some people that, like, what? Hall of Famer? You guys are high. What are you talking about? No. You know what I thought? And I think the Hasek discussion is the first thing that came into my head. You didn't want to be that close to Hasek because you're going to be, it's unfair to compare anybody to that guy because he's a freak of nature in terms of how that position was played by him that I've never seen anybody else be able to accomplish. And I doubt I will the rest of my career. I've seen great goalies, but nobody played it like he did. Like it was just, the without a spine thing and all the other stuff. Okay. But you know what else? I think also what hurt Ryan Miller, or if you are a Ryan Miller detractor, you would look at it and go, he had a much better team in front of him than Dominic Hasek ever had in his time as Sabres goalie. And I think there is some element of truth to that. I think the portrayal of Hasek, for example, the team that went to the Cup Finals, or even the back-to-back years when they went to the conference final and lost to Washington, and then they go to the finals and they lose to Dallas. And he's in that. I mean, this guy is winning Hart trophies. He's not just winning Vezina trophies. He is his own discussion. So I think there is, you pale in comparison, anybody would, lined up against Hasek. But also, Hasek, the perception is, or the narrative is, when they went to the Cup Finals, Hasek was basically playing behind a bunch of slugs, which isn't, it's not fair to those teams. But I will also tell you, there was no Briere, there was no Drury. He was enigmatic at times, but the talent level of a guy like a Finneganoff, I mean, the players that were on the back-to-back conference finals teams were better than the collection of talent that Dominic Hasek had as a group in front of him. I would agree to that. I think maybe that hurts Ryan Miller too, that there might be an element of fans that are less inclined to say, yeah, guys, he was really good. He's the backstop, and he was really fantastic in that stretch, and more about, well, yeah, man, look at the team he had in front of him. They were President's Trophy champions. They were for a 2-year stretch, they're arguably the best, if not one of the top 3 in performance in the National Hockey League. And I think you would tend to maybe not give enough credit to the goalie with a team like that. Whereas Hasek was, those guys were bad. He would stop 50 shots a night and hope that they won a game 1-0 or 2-1.
I remember I was living in Florida at the time, you know, during the Dominic Hasek run, essentially the entire time. And I remember even in Tampa when the Sabres would play there, listening to sports talk radio, and the hosts would basically say, that team's not good at all. It's all goalie. Like, they would say that about the Sabres.
Absolutely.
And the Sabres were good.
Right.
And but that was the perception. There's no doubt about it. Now, I think that they were better than a lot of people gave them credit for and thought in a lot of areas and ways. But sure, I mean, and we all know that they didn't have Dominic Hasek, they would not have been, not have had some of the seasons they had, you know, in advance in the playoffs the way they did a couple of times. But
sure,
that was absolutely the perception outside of Buffalo, especially, which is it was all goalie. It was all Dominic Hasek.
I think, yeah, for sure. And I think part
and
of that.
And that was not the case for those 06, 07 teams,
no,
which is
no.
Ryan Miller's really good. Now, I think Ryan Miller, though, became kind of a household name because of the Olympics, right? People mm-hmm. were into it. United States, he's the goalie for them. That was a big deal. But the Sabres were known to be a much different kind of team than they were just, what, 6-7 years before that, essentially.
Well, Ryan Miller became, at some point, I'm thinking about the year they went to the Winter Classic and he was in the national ad campaign. Like, he became, how often do you see a goal? Well, first off, how often do you see anybody from the NHL in a national ad campaign in the United States? This is where we make fun of the NHL because it's not exactly, you know, everybody's favorite sport in this country. It's a niche sport, really. But how often would you see a goalie as a spokesman getting national TV commercials? He became a face for the league, the Winter Classic, the Olympics, the success of the Sabres, American-born goalie, yada, 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 all the stuff in his story. I think, that's what I said, I think there is an underappreciation of how good he was. Yeah, they had good teams. Those were talented players. Look, I think if you go back coming out of the lockout, and that team, and then the season after that, the President's Trophy team, I think most people around the league at the time were talking about how this is exactly how you want your team constructed for the way the game is now being called, right? Remember, they came out of the shutdown, and all of a sudden,
absolutely,
they wanted this open game. We're going to call penalties. We're not letting you get away with the ticky-tack stick fouls, the clutching, the grabbing, the holding. We're getting it out of the sport. We want wide open. We want fast. We want skating. We want scoring. And the Sabres were like a perfect fit. The roster they put together was a perfect fit. But Ryan Miller was really a big glue guy for that team. I don't think it would have been just throw any goalie in and you'd be okay. The things that stood out about him, it's, oh, geez, I'm trying to think. Like, Hasek, I mean this in an endearing way. He was crazy. Like, I really think he was obsessively compulsed with, you know, obsessive compulsive. I don't know if he has obsessive compulsive disorder, but he was obsessed with his game, right? How many times would guys talk about Rob Ray or would tell stories, all these guys, about how he would get Hasek, would get ticked off if they scored on him in practice. And he would stay late and do this and do that. He was crazy. To me, Ryan Miller, what stood out among the things that stood out about Ryan Miller, look, he was very good at what he did. And on a team that played the style that they played, you know, they're going to get into some higher scoring games. They're opening things up. You need your goalie to come up big time and time and time. But I thought his personality for that position, whereas Dominic, I think, was a little nutsy, Ryan Miller was very much, and again, it's funny, Sal, I think some people perceive this as a negative, was very much under control. Right? You wouldn't often see him, if he gave up a bad goal, is he breaking his stick over the crossbar? Is he ranting and raving or yelling or screaming? To me, and I mean, it's not like I knew him that well and I wasn't covering the team. Paul would have been covering the team. I thought, and for that position, I want a goalie under control. I want him to be unflappable. I want to see him be able to maintain his calm, his emotions, both when times are great and when you're having a bad night or your team is not playing well in front of you. I don't want to see you become unglued. And I thought he was very good at that. Maybe some people wanted some anger every now and then out of Ryan Miller if he gave up a bad goal or had a bad game. But that wasn't who he was. And to me, his personality for that position, maybe even on that team, but for that position was exactly the kind of guy I want in goal. I thought he was very much unflappable and could roll with, wouldn't get too caught up in the good, but could also roll and be fine when there was some bad going on around him as well.
Yeah, you're talking about Miller, right?
Yeah.
And I remember even after 7107, right, which is not a good day to remember around here.
I've never heard it referred to as 7107 before. Okay, yeah.
I remember people asking Ryan Miller, you know, about the void in leadership and him saying, well, you know, even I can step up too. Like, I, even though I'm a goalie, I can be more of a leader and do things. He was always just the kind of, to me, always just represented the team player. Like you said, there was this floor where you knew that you were always going to get the standard of play,
yep,
the standard of character and person. And, you know, there was not the Dominic Hasek ceiling, but he certainly could be great at times, you know? So I agree. You know, he was just kind of that guy. He was always in that certain demeanor that, where Hasek, his style of play reflected it. You just never knew what you were going to get from Dominic Hasek.
Right. And which is why, you know, how Hasek was always worth the price of admission because of what you just said. You never knew what you were going to see. Is he going to have a 50-save night? Is he going to have, however, whatever, 70-whatever saves against New Jersey in four overtimes in the playoffs? Is he going to be stopping pucks with his head? Is he going to be flopping around on the ice? Is he going to be over in the corner and all of a sudden come flying across the crease? I mean, he made, you know, Rick Jenrette roll the highlight film, although, you know, Miller had that too, to a lesser extent. So that was... See, but Miller wasn't that guy. And again, that should not be a negative. That's more about, oh my Lord, the guy before him was perhaps the greatest, again, and I mean this in a positive way, freak show in terms of what a goalie did, because it was just, oh God, you got to come over here. You got to watch this replay. You'll never guess. You got to see what Hasek just did. I mean, those were regular moments with him. Ryan Miller wasn't necessarily that guy, but Ryan Miller was just really good, very good at what he did. And I think, as I said, I think when you go back and think those 2 years and the people that really fell in love with those teams, there were a number of guys. I always loved Briere. He'll always be one of my most favorite players to have ever covered, watched, whatever. Always, I love Danny Briere, Drury, Afinogenoff, whatever. I'm not going to go through the whole list. I don't know what it's. I mean, Miller to me should have been in that group. Maybe it was sometimes he would give some honest answers that didn't go over well with people. He might be critical of certain things. He was not a guy to hide his thoughts. He would very much share if he had to be critical of the league or how things were going on. He would very much give you an honest opinion. Maybe that rubbed some people the wrong way. I don't know. But to me, that was part of the overall things that I liked about Ryan Miller from my standpoint as a media member. Yeah, he'd give you an honest answer. And if things weren't good for a particular reason, himself included, by the way, he would state it. He wouldn't beat around the bush. And if there was something he didn't like about the league, the state of the game, he would state it and not beat around the bush. To me, I found that appealing. That's not number one on my list of why I appreciated Ryan Miller, but I think it is on the list.
Well, I agree with what Brayton said earlier, that eventually
he'll go in, I think, a Hall of Famer. So. Yeah, I think
so. He gets in. Yeah. To the Hall of Fame, right? I'm just looking at some of the four seasons in the top 10 in wins in the NHL, seven seasons in the top 10 in goals against, total goals against, and how about average? Two seasons in the top 10 in goals against average. Yeah, it's not a ton, but I mean, I think he was good enough for long enough and put together a good enough body of work as well as longevity, obviously, that he eventually does get in. It might not be right away, but it'll happen.
You'd like to, and this discussion about Ryan Miller in the context of what we've seen for goaltending around here, I mean, the Sabres have been looking for a guy, seems like forever now, you know? It's, who is it? And different guys have come in, and, you know, there was a GM who traded away a first-round draft pick for Robin Lehner, and he's flourishing elsewhere now. And I think, you know, I like what I've seen from Linus Solmark. Maybe UPL is the guy down the road, but this franchise, I mean, Carter Hutton has not worked out. They've been going through goalie after goalie after goalie after goalie. And among the things that Kevin Adams has to do in the offseason, Sal, to make this team better, is solidify the goaltending spot. I think it would include re-signing Linus Ullmark and giving Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen some more time in Rochester to develop, finding a better veteran backup to Ullmark. It's not Dustin Tokarski. It's not Michael Hauser. They were both wonderful stories. Felt good for them to get wins after everything both have been through. Neither one of those guys is the guy that I would pair with Ullmark next season if I'm trying to make the playoffs. You have a guy like Ryan Miller, and you just put him in 60 times, 65 times, whatever the number is, And you never have to worry about that position as long as he plays for your franchise. And since he's been gone, they really haven't had that guy in that spot.
No, that's right. So, and it, you know, it's the old adage, the further you get away from something, the more you become appreciative of it, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Bills 4 Super Bowls, right? People, you know, nationally, right? Oh, people make fun of it, ha, ha, ha. But I think it's much more revered now and held to much higher esteem to a lot of people. I think the same thing about players. In the moment, you know, players aren't appreciated enough, and then maybe get more appreciative of them and what they've accomplished and what they meant to you as you move farther away, especially an organization that has the longest current NHL playoff drought going, right? Which is wow, and kind of seems a little bit, you know, uncertain at goalie at best at this particular time. So I think that the Ryan Miller appreciation, at least, has been a little more growing over the last. And I say this. I think maybe we're painting a picture here of a lot of people who just didn't like the guy. I don't think that's the case. But I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I agree with you that there was a good sentiment, I think, of Sabres fans, that probably never really appreciated him maybe as much as either I think they should.
Yeah.
Or maybe I don't know how to put it. It's because I don't want to say like, oh, he was never like, no, he was. People loved him in Buffalo, I think, for the most part. But I definitely think there was that group, like you're kind of alluding to, that they never really bought into him as being some really top goalie.
Yeah, it just always puzzled me. And look, and I think, you know, there'll always be, no matter what you're discussing, there can always be a minority of fans who, you know, you would look at a player and go, wow, he's really good, and whatever, it might rub somebody the wrong way. Vanek comes to mind. A little bit of a different discussion than the goalie, I think. But I always thought, if we're going to have an underappreciated discussion, I would think Vanek actually would be on the list ahead of Ryan Miller. I always felt that for a guy with his goal-scoring ability, and again, maybe it was who he was with, the team he was on, and you didn't necessarily appreciate how important it is until years after he's gone when people are calling up going, hey, can we go sign Vanek for a year? He's still getting 15 to 20 goals. I think I always felt he was a guy that was extremely underappreciated, never got his just due for his ability and his talent while he wore a Buffalo Sabres uniform. I don't think Miller's at that level with Vanek, but he's on that list. Paul is on the Zoom calls today. The Zoom calls have started with the Sabres. It's a virtual locker cleanout, if you will. They're actually cleaning out their lockers, but the media, of course, are doing all of the Zoom calls to talk to guys. Kyle Oposo, Paul just tweeted out. Oposo's doing his call. Oposo said he's doing okay. His cheek is healing well. He did not have any concussion problems with his latest injury. He said he feels refreshed and is ready to continue his career. He is still under contract for the Sabres. He has to be protected because of his contract. Is Brayton, full no move, limited no move. Do you recall what it is? I know he has some kind of no move, so he's got to be protected.
Kyle Oposo does not have to be protected.
Oh, I thought he did.
According,
I thought he had a no move.
According to Cap Friendly's Seattle expansion draft simulator, Kyle Oposo's contract is not one that has to be protected. The only one that has to be is Jeff Skinner because he has a full or a no movement clause. I don't remember if it's full or modified.
Cap Friendly has a Seattle expansion draft simulator?
Yes, they do.
What do you think Brayton does in his downtime?
They had one for Las Vegas when Vegas was coming into the picture too. So
I mean, I've seen people kind of like project, but I did not even know this. This is nice.
Okay, so they according
to very nice tool.
According to Cap Friendly, they list Oposo with a modified no trade clause. So I guess that that would not encompass being left unprotected for an expansion draft. Okay.
Yeah.
So they could. So he is still under contract for 2 more years at $6 million in the cap. So we'll see what happens with him in terms of the expansion draft list. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-552-550. When we get back, we were talking earlier about the NFL schedule comes out Wednesday night, and what is the league doing about the Green Bay Packers? They would be in prime time, you would think, quite often. They have a big game against Kansas City, which looks very attractive. But, you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to be the quarterback or not? We will check in Wisconsin about what is going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and all that fun stuff. That's on the way in a moment. Phone line's always open. You want to join us? Add to the discussion. You got something else you want to bring up? Another question, another topic? That's fine, too. Just dial us up at 803-0550 here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't think that they will move him. It does certainly seem like this relationship is fractured beyond repair. All the reporting that's coming out, the references to Jerry Krause and group chats, Rogers apparently telling potential free agents that he's not going to be there next year. I don't see how you patch that relationship back together. I'm reminded a lot of the statement, the quote from Tom Brady Sr. when he was asked about Tom Brady during the end of Tom Brady's time in New England, and he said it's going to end and it will probably end badly. This is what we're starting to see more and more with veteran quarterbacks. They want to play until their late 30s, until their early 40s, but the teams have to prepare themselves for a potential falling off a cliff situation. They have to prepare themselves for life after the quarterback, and it creates tension between player and organization.
That is Mark Schofield from the Touchdown Wire talking about the Aaron Rodgers situation, which we'll discuss in a moment and figure out what the heck's going to happen here. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. All right, we're not able to get in touch with our guests, so I'll bring this up with you, Sal, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it. Jeremy and I have discussed this. It's going on, what, 2 weeks come Thursday, I think, since the news, the bombshell hit the night of the draft. When all is said and done, how do you think this plays out? If you were a betting man, by week one, is Aaron Rodgers still the starting quarterback in Green Bay?
Ooh, man, this is a tough one. I think he is.
Yeah.
I think he is. Yeah. So did you listen to Adam Schefter on Dan Patrick's show
last
week?
I know he was on recently about it. No, I didn't catch it.
I listened to it. People made a really big deal. I don't know if you know what happened. So obviously we all know the bombshell report that you're referring to. Aaron Rodgers, the way Adam Schefter presented it on draft day, right? When that all came out.
Right.
So he goes on Dan Patrick's show and Dan says, like, okay, so how did this all come about? So Schefter's response is essentially, well, that didn't really just happen on draft day. This has been kind of building up and no one specifically told me this. It's just kind of what's been pieced together. And I decided to report it on draft day. Like it was.
Yeah,
kind of news in itself.
Well, he was worried that it was going to start to come out. So I better put this out there now, right?
Yeah, maybe. I guess like that. Come on. There has to be an element of it's draft day, ESPN. Like, we're going to put this out there. This gets everybody talking. But he didn't say it like that. But you kind of got the sense. But a lot of people were upset. Like fans, people thinking, wow, Schefter just hurt his credibility. Why would he wait on this? He did it on that day to be part of the story. And I get that sentiment. But what I was almost more confused about the situation after listening to him on Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
Than I was before going into it, which is weird. But then I also listened to him. He has a weekly podcast. And he did his podcast with Mel Kiper and Todd McShay after the draft. But before that, he goes into all this different stuff about Aaron Rodgers, and he kind of explains it again. And what he said really did make sense, which is, look, Aaron's wanted out for a while. He just doesn't want he doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't want to get his hands muddy. And if this... In order for this to happen, he's probably going to have to get his hands muddy. Huh. That's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, you know, in terms of the timing of the story, it is, I'll be honest with you, and I don't know Adam Schefter, so if I had a story and it was that Aaron Rodgers, by the way, the reigning MVP, is so angry that he's talking about not returning to the team, that is not something I would sit on. The minute I confirm that, I would have that. I mean, I would tweet that out right away because that's
but
a huge story.
Again, that's the difference. There was no like confirmation. Yeah. Of it. No one's told him this specifically. This is not he was told by a certain person. It was more of an accumulation of events which led him to reporting the story.
See, I thought the timing of it to me was odd. See, I thought to me, I would have guessed that the timing of it was he wants out. if you're gonna, if you want out, you know what? You want that story coming out the morning of the first round of the draft, because now you try and back Green Bay into a corner, and if it comes out that day and they know you're not coming back, well, you might as well move them now because you can get a first round pick, multiple first round picks, including a pick at, I don't know, 9 from Denver or whatever you would have spun them for on Thursday night, that night of the draft.
So you're saying, though, that it, who would be, whose interest would it be to put it out on draft day?
Rodgers' interest. Force a trade.
Correct. But again, this is not what happened, according to Adam Schefter. No one said, like, there was no agenda from either side to put the story out. And as far as the way I listened to Schefter talk, like, neither side necessarily wanted it out there.
Yeah.
He just took a collection of information, put it together, and said, guess what? He wants out. This has been happening for a while. I have an, you know, it was circumstantial evidence more than anything.
Yeah.
Really. That's what it was, if you really think about it. Now, the other part of this is, and he's right, and I agree with this, you could be mad at him and think that he did this the wrong way, but all Aaron Rodgers has to do is come out and sit and deny it and say, I want to be here. And he's never done this.
Right. Yeah. If I had to hazard a guess, I would say he would be back this season. Because first off, this, it's a little bit like our Eichel discussion, but not exactly the same, because obviously Aaron Rodgers has had a greater career in his sport than Eichel has to this point. Here, I would say he'd be back because first off, I think if you're Green Bay, you're a Super Bowl contender next season. I don't know enough about Jordan Love to tell you that if Jordan Love steps in right away next season, they'll be fine. I'm not sure that the Packers know that either, because there was no preseason last year, right? How much experience does Jordan Love have? I would think, if I'm the Packers, I do not want to trade Aaron Rodgers. If I'm the Sabres, I don't want to trade Jack Eichel. I am better, much better, with Aaron Rodgers in town. He is under contract. I do have him for, what, I think 2, maybe 3 more years. But, so I guess I'm telling you, Sal, I would be calling Aaron Rodgers' bluff. At this point, I would say, look, we're not trading you, Aaron. You're our quarterback. By the way, you're in a pretty good situation. You did oversee the highest scoring offense in the league last year. Won 13 games. We were the one seed. We're still going to be really good. They should still win the division. They should still be a Super Bowl contender. We've got a good offensive line. We kept our running back. We drafted a wide receiver to help you out. We've got good weapons, blah, blah, blah. We're not trading you. So then basically you would be calling Rodgers bluff. Does he sit out? He can sit out now, right? Doesn't matter. Who cares if you miss voluntary OTAs, especially if you're Aaron Rodgers. You could even sit out mini camp.
Does he call their bluff and say, I'll retire then?
Very good play. That's right. And he might. He might. So I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to gamble. And I'm going to say, I'm going to make you make the move, Aaron. We're not trading you.
Yep.
We want you back here next year.
And then
you see, what is his answer? Does he say, fine, I'm done? Or does he threaten to not show up and maybe I'll show up in October? I don't know. You're right. That's how I play it. I'm going to make Aaron Rodgers call it quits.
I agree with you. I think that's what the organization has to do. I think that's the play here. Because even if Aaron Rodgers did that, they would still hold his rights.
Yeah, he can't go anywhere.
And they could say, right. I mean, okay, sure, retire. And then maybe we'll get to a point where another team says, hey, you know, we'll take him off your hands and take the, and then you get maybe an offer that you say, this is really good for us and we could do it. But I agree with you. I think that's what the team needs to do. And I think Schefter made a good point. Again, you could be upset about the way Schefter handled this, but he makes some really interesting points too when you go and listen to him on Dan Patrick and on his podcast. I'd invite anybody to go listen to either of those. I think it's really interesting. But he basically keeps saying Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to get mud on his hands.
Yeah.
And in order for this to get resolved one way or the other, he almost has to be able to be willing to do that at some point.
Well, Favre did. I mean, isn't it? Don't you find it odd that here we are, we sit here from our perspective, wandering through the quarterback desert for 20 years, that we sit here and talk about, man, imagine being a Packers fan. You know, you go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. And if Luck didn't retire, we would talk about how the Colts went from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. Don't you? It's odd, the similarities in the stories here. You get Favre, and they draft a quarterback in the first round, and Favre basically doesn't give the guy the time of day. Like, he's not helping him develop at all, right? And it doesn't sound like that's been the case. He gave Rodgers the cold shoulder, right? It doesn't sound like Rodgers has been that way to Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
But here you go with the next franchise quarterback, and you draft a quarterback, and now the guy who has been in the job and has been your franchise guy, now he's unhappy. I don't see how, if Rodgers wants out, you're right, Sal. If you want out and you're Aaron Rodgers, there is no way to do this without getting your hands muddied, so to speak. Favre did. And a lot of Packers fans resented him for how things ended in Green Bay. And the fact that he ended up eventually back in the division.
By the way, he was also asked at the very end of the Dan Patrick interview, like, about Jordan Love. And Schefter's response was, well, I talked to someone who, you know, saw him at practice every day or whatever, however he phrased it. And the response about Jordan Love was, he has a long way to go. Now, that could be just, it's one person's opinion,
right?
So if you're the Packers, you also have to think about that. Where would we go? When this all happened, on the morning of the draft, the afternoon of the draft, a lot of people were thinking, oh, well, just, you know, that number three pick and they can draft a quarterback. And I'm like, but they're not going to do that. They just drafted Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Like, why would they draft him in the first round if they didn't think he was going to be the heir apparent? And they're not going to bolt on him after 1 year. It can happen. We've seen it. I know Josh Rosen. I don't think that's this sort of situation, though.
Right, but Rosen played. I mean, you actually saw Rosen in action.
Exactly.
This kid's never played, right?
He never even suited up, by the way, I don't think. I do not think he was active for a single game last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was thinking a little bit pre-legal issues about the Houston situation, you know, because we were going through, what do the Texans do? Deshaun Watson doesn't want to come back. He's not happy with the owner. He feels like he has been betrayed. And I looked at it and thought, okay, if you're the Texans, you can't trade him, because what did you have behind him? This was before Tyrod Taylor. This was before drafting David Mills. I mean, you were literally, you know, if you're trading Deshaun Watson, you were going to trade him for Tua Tagovailoa. You would trade him for some team that would give you a quarterback you think you could make it work with. But again, I looked at Houston and thought, okay, you know what? Even with Watson, they seem to have been taking a step backwards. You know, they had moved on from some pieces. They got rid of Will Fuller, J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins. They had moved on from some good players. Or they were going to move on from Watt. They moved on from some good players. Green Bay is a different story. This, again, they are they were the defending one seed, and they are a Super Bowl contender. And that's why I think if you're the Packers, I don't think you have any choice but to say, yeah, no, we're not trading you. And if I was going to trade Rodgers, I would have pulled the trigger before the draft so I could capitalize immediately on some of my assets that I'm going to get in a return for Aaron Rodgers. And you miss that window.
And look, if you're Brian Gutekunst, do you really want to be the GM known as the GM
who
traded
Aaron Rodgers?
The person known as the GM who traded Aaron Rodgers? Like, you don't want that as well. So this looks like a stalemate at this point. I don't know. To answer your original question, to me, it always seems like there's lots of drama with Aaron Rodgers all the time that ultimately ends with, oh, we're just back in the same spot we were.
Right.
That's really what it seems like. And I think that's where we'll be week one, as I sit here right now, which is him quarterbacking the Green Bay Packers.
All right, we'll get a break. Extendo Sports and setting you up for the Instigators. They're, of course, coming your way top of the hour. Talk more about the Sabres season, the Zoom calls and stuff that's going on as part of locker cleanup. That's on the way on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, a couple minutes left here. Extendo Sports, and the Bills have lost their player personnel director, Dan Morgan, to the Carolina Panthers because they hired him away as their assistant general manager. That happened over the weekend. You can find the story at WGR550.com. Great opportunity for Dan Morgan. He's been a really instrumental part of the Buffalo Bills building with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and his staff, especially since he came aboard in 2018. But I will tell you this.
2 minute warning.
The Buffalo Bills have a very good, talented, deep front office roster if Brandon Bean chooses to hire from within, including Malik Boyd, Terrence Gray, Brian Gain. There's a lot of different people on that staff that could slide into that role. And the Bills are in a really good spot here. But I'm really happy for Dan Morgan. He's really done a nice job with the Bills. He fit in well. And people ask me, Howard, well, why don't the Bills just elevate him? Well, because the Bills have an assistant GM, and he's really good, and his name is Joe Shane.
I think we had this discussion a couple years ago, right? We got to a point when Brian Gain left for Houston. I know we would have talked about it with you, Sal, that as with success comes a number of things, drafting lower, but also people start looking at your front office and your scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to be expected, I think.
No doubt. And look, it's the same thing with coaches, right? I mean, the Bills had their coordinators both interview for head coaching jobs.
Last
and I think most people thought one
show.
Of them Brian Daboll was going to get one. He ultimately did not. This just speaks to what the Bills have done. But I'll tell you this again. Like, I think the point here is, hey, loss for the Bills for sure. Smart guy, done a good job. Don't panic. They'll be fine. Brandon Bean will have a roster full of people he can choose from, and a lot of people will want to join this organization too.
Well, there's good depth on the roster. There's good depth in the football department, the personnel department.
Right.
They have a
That's
number
right.
of guys they can count on. All right, Mr. C, nice work today, sir. In fact, you were so good, we're going to have you back tomorrow.
Oh, thanks. I win the golden ticket.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you were having an audition. I just didn't want to freak you out by telling you that. Instigators coming up in just a moment. The Sabres Zoom calls are continuing. The guys, of course, will have the latest, including Jack Eichel's Zoom call at 11:10. They're going to carry that one live. Stay tuned for that. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.